Welcome to Pauly Malignaggi, from Brooklyn to the world.
Proudly representing his hometown of Brooklyn, New York.
Pauly Malignaggi takes you inside the ring and beyond.
I'm definitely far from shy. We're going to be ranting about a lot of stuff. Not just about boxing, I'm opinionated on life in general, many sports topics and politics.
Pauly doesn't hold back.
The two-time world champion, Pauly the Magic Man.
Are we ready?
Yeah, yes.
From Brooklyn to the world, we ready?
Yes.
Pauly Malignaggi, Brooklyn to the world.
With Manny Pacquiao, yes.
Yeah. With Seth, with your pink pants. Who are you, John Barrymore? With your cigarette holder? Remember that in Casino?
Yes.
You know, you start to offend people a lot around here. Even your own wife.
Yeah. You know, if anybody doesn't watch any of those movies or listen to our podcast, you're missing out on all the good jokes. Watch those movies.
You know what, Seth, you're really starting to disrespect us around here with your meetings. We come up here at the time we're supposed to shop. You got me sweating like Daniel Gill about to walk out against Miguel Cotto.
Oh, that's a big sweat.
No, dude, seriously. I mean, what is it with... Why can't we have a key to the building or something?
Like, yeah, we every need
time,
access, man.
Every time we come to CBS Studios, we got to knock on the glass doors and hope somebody hears us and lets us in.
Did somebody let you in?
Finally, the nice
but sometimes we're waiting like 2-3 minutes. Like, it's like...
Three?
It's like we're second-rate citizens over here.
Oh, my God. You guys are my favorite. What are you talking about?
We're like...
You want me to just
Seth,
go along
you
with this?
Tell everyone they're your favorite. Yeah. Were you kidding?
True. I can't deny
Mr.
That.
Politician, yeah. Seth.
These guys were 15 Seth. Minutes early. I'm in meetings. I got to make things happen.
Oh, I'm not telling you we had to go on the air early, but we want to at least hang out.
I want to be treated with some respect around here, or else I'm going to make you guys an offer you can't refuse.
Oh, Minka.
Hey.
Oh, look at that.
Hey. Whoa.
No, seriously.
No, because you know what
Italians
it is? I feel
make
like
me nervous.
Sometimes.
Man. I feel like.
Oh, what's with the stereotypical comments about the Italians now?
I feel like Ace Ventura when we get here, no? I feel like Ace Ventura when we get here. It's like, what's the best? Word.
Now you say the
Anglin clam chowder.
Is that the red or the white?
I could never remember that.
I got a line for you. I bet you guys don't know it.
What?
See, it's Joe Pesci. I'm going to tell you what movie. He says, "Who am I? I'm the guy who put the bathrooms in this joint. That's who I am."
Oh, you told me. You said that once before.
Come on.
You don't know it.
I don't know. I'm bad with the quotes.
Yeah, that's an old one.
Yeah.
Come on, Pete. If you stump Pete, you're good.
No, that's an old one.
Pete doesn't get stumped.
He told me about it. It's an old one.
I told you to watch the movie. I don't think you ever saw it.
No,
it's called Easy Money with Rodney Dangerfield.
I never saw it.
Yeah, we got to watch that. Rodney Dangerfield in there, too?
Him and Joe Pesci are best friends. That's all you need to know.
Right.
Classic.
You told
him. Oh, my God.
What year is it made?
Like 19, I think it was the movie right after Raging Bull. He made that movie.
Wow, what is it called? Easy Money?
Yeah.
Like everybody 82. Out there, we're all going to watch Easy Money, including me this week. So next week we can talk about it.
It's set in Staten Island. That's what else you need to
boom.
Know?
Staten Island in the 80s.
Yeah.
Any New York movie in the 80s, top notch. Best time ever. New York
thanks
in the 80s.
Thanks for that spray, man. My mic was, who was using this?
Taz.
Taz, huh?
Yeah.
He was eating.
Spewing. Oh, this was used after that, too. It was Rebecca Levy from Parenting Bites.
Really? Yeah. Parenting Bites. What was she biting? Pieces of shit?
Because the microphone smelled,
Jesus
dude.
Jesus Christ.
That's not nice.
Come on.
Come on, let's keep it classy. This is your podcast brethren, man.
Oh, totally. We're all for it. We just, we're all from a breath made once in a while. That's all.
There you go.
You guys are very angry today, man. You're making me nervous.
No, it's not that.
I'm kidding.
We came in we were feeling some type of way today about doing the podcast and everything. The first thing we find out when we get up here, we're locked out. Not the first time. Honestly, why does everybody else get those codes? You know, you get those card swipes.
Yeah,
you just swipe the card and the door automatically opens. But we're reduced to knocking.
We need the numbers to get up. We get the numbers to get up, and then we get some,
is that
get
what
some
it
cards.
Is?
Yeah, that's what it is.
What do we get? We got the numbers to get up?
Yeah. Need more people.
Folks at home, seriously, you guys are not. Don't tell your friend. Tell your friends to listen to us. The hell's going on?
I
want to
get
here?
My own swipe over here.
We want to be able to be allowed in the building when we need to get here.
I get no respect.
swipe your ass. Oh. Hey, yo, hey.
Unbelievable. We had quite a week this past week, no? We had some boxing over the weekend, which is becoming a routine.
Don't even get started.
Oh, we're going to get started in a little bit.
Shit.
Hold on.
Uh-oh.
We had
first
the Champions League final.
Shit.
We had the first Triple Crown winner.
Yeah.
The Belmont Stakes.
American.
I didn't think
Pharaoh.
I was ever going to be alive to watch a Triple Crown winner in the horses.
I don't have to hear about horses running around in a circle for another year. It's awesome.
I tell you, my boss is a diehard horse racing guy.
I never heard of anybody that's a diehard horse racing guy.
He is. He's his own site and everything.
Usually they lose a lot of money, too.
No, but he's not. He's not he's a degenerate. He's actually, you know, a guy that's into it as a kid. His grandfather. My point is, as good as American Pharoah was, the time at the Belmont, the secretariat had.
Come on.
You said that.
Secretariat. Come on with Secretariat. Don't get me started on Derek Secretariat. Because Secretariat was like the 70s version of Manny Pacquiao.
Wait.
And I love Secretariat.
No.
Is it Secretary or Secretariat?
Secretariat.
Yeah, like an old Roman Greek gladiator.
Would have finished 15 lengths ahead of American Pharoah.
No, the time Secretariat had was crazy. Yeah. It was ridiculous. That horse wasn't human. I mean, it wasn't horse. It wasn't human.
2 seconds. That's a long.
That's a lot of length. Nah, Secretariat was a different kind of horse, but I don't know. Knows what they were giving that thing.
How many?
Seriously, bro, come on.
How many horse penises is that in length?
Oh, come on.
Depends
dude.
On the horse.
I mean,
how many Deontays? Or how many?
How many of yours? You're the one comparing yourself to Deontay.
Yeah,
you're the one who wants to have that contest.
That's 1,000.
Oh. Dude, Peter Claus goes up to Deontay when he meets him, and that's what he wants to talk about. Can you imagine?
Yeah, it's a strange guy.
He says he's a. Says he'll beat him in a measurement contest.
I definitely won't.
No.
Well, what did Deontay tell you? Deontay told you you're gonna lose that. You're gonna lose that one, bro.
You're gonna lose that one, man. I said, let me put my sneaker to the end of it first. I told him. I said it's not fair, bro. I said you get out of the pool. You got no shrinkage. He goes, nah.
He wasn't even shy about it. All the things you know, miss.
Normal guys like
air.
Us, we get out of the pool. We make sure nobody's around. You know, we do a little. Little tuck.
Oh yeah.
And this guy just gets out of the pool. It's probably flopping all over the place.
Nice.
Make sure your kids aren't around, you know. Stay away from that thing.
Oh, we got long board shorts.
Yeah. Yeah. No, he straps it around his waist. He wears it like a belt.
Oh, you just reminded me of, you know, HBO has those crazy shows. They had, like male stripper show, like one of those documentaries. Mm-hmm. And I'm dating a girl at the time. The show's on. These guys actually have socks. For it, you know.
Well, they wear rings,
like dick socks.
Well, they wear rings.
They wear rings to keep the blood in there.
So yeah. It seems like they always have a
whatever. I don't know. I just wear regular underwear.
Yeah.
I don't need a sock.
Correction.
Yeah.
What do you all of a sudden you become politically correct?
A boner.
Seriously.
Yeah.
A boner.
And he went from politically correct to 1990. A boner.
What
he didn't call it a hard on. He called it a boner.
What about we were younger, right? I was a little kid. I must have been about, I don't know, 8. So my brothers were watching the baseball game, and my father had a heavy Italian accent, so we're watching the catcher and the pitcher's throwing whatever, and my brother goes, oh, he's got a hat on under there, meaning his catcher helmet,
a hat on
my,
it.
My father goes, man, how the fuck you know he's got a hat on? My brother goes, what? He goes, man, how do you know he's got a hat on? No hat on, a hat on underneath the thing. He's got a hat on. Oh, I thought you said he has a hat on.
This is Petey. How old are you? 8? How come you're not upstairs with a girl? What are you doing down here? What are you doing down here?
What are you doing, you homo? You doing homework?
Let's take that. Your dad is. What's the matter?
Yeah, my dad was a little, you know, vulgar.
Racist. And all kinds of stuff.
Homophobic, yeah.
Homophobic. No, not on this show, though.
No. It's 2015. Yeah. Can't be that way anymore.
Yeah, your father was
very ignorant. Ignorant in the 70s, you know? In the 80s.
All right.
It's different. Right. It's a different era now.
Okay. What else you guys got? You
back at it over here.
Boxing?
So we had horses. We had boxing. We had the
Champions League.
Whoa.
I told you.
Go ahead.
Oh, come on. How many times were you going to bet against Juventus before you were finally going to hit it? Come on. Overall, in the Champions League, did you make money betting against Juventus? No. Because you went against them every time they played.
No, I didn't. What? That's what. See what I mean?
What?
The kid, all he does is talk shit.
Okay, what?
That's
when
why
did
these Pacquiao fans don't like him. You see what I mean?
When did you?
I bet against him once with Madrid.
Both games against Madrid.
Okay.
It was a home and away. Yeah.
Fine.
So
if there was a home and away with Barcelona, I would have.
But
the same
there wasn't.
Thing. All right, but I made my money back because what did I do?
Doubled up.
What did I do?
What did you do?
Hey, oh, what did I do?
You took the goal line too.
There. Eh.
What was the goal line?
What
was the goal? What was the goal?
Huh? No.
Not letting me hear it.
No.
What was the goal line?
I didn't
jerk
take
off.
The goal line, genius. You know what I did.
Oh, what, the over?
You know what I did.
I don't know what you did. No, I don't know what you did. Explain
now
yourself.
Now you don't know what I did.
No, explain yourself.
I did the
Go for it. Don't stutter. Now go for it.
You know the way it works. You got to take them in. You got to take them in the 90 minutes.
Yeah.
And then you got to take them to advance.
Oh, so you took them to advance and win the championship.
Gotcha. And I took them in the 90 minutes. Boom. How do you like them apples?
Double boom. Gotcha.
Right?
It's the way we do when we take the World Cup games. Yeah.
Thank you. So is that not doubling up pretty much?
That is. That is. Did you take the over too or no?
No, I didn't.
You didn't.
Yeah. I didn't. I was scared. I thought Juventus was going to play.
They were
play defensive.
They played good.
No, I
think the over hit with the late goal by Neymar, right? Before that, was it 3? The over under?
It was 3.
So that means you...
It was 2.5.
Oh, so they already hit.
2.5. 2 and a hook shot, as we call
it. That was honestly a good game, though. I was pretty psyched. Like, the game was good. I mean, I honestly
shit in my underwear, to be honest with you. Listen to this. So it was Saturday. I sharted a little bit. Right. I had the kid, the young guard, Junior Yunan, fighting on the undercard that day because it was the day of the Cotto fight. So I had to get to Barclays at a certain time. It's like the 86th minute, and they're beeping the horn that they're outside, and we got to go to Barclays. I mean, this game was close.
Yeah, it was 2-1 at that point.
Right?
And let
when it was 1-1, Juventus was playing better.
When it was 1-1, like, first of all, Juventus got screwed, first of all. So you forget about that. At 1-1, Pogba got fouled in the box. That was a penalty 100 out of 100 times a referee's supposed to call that a penalty. Except when you're playing Barcelona in the Champions League final, unfortunately. And you're going to agree. Come on, bro.
Absolutely.
If Pogba goes down and the penalty's actually called, if Juve goes up 2-1, it's a different game. It's a different game because that 2-1, the tactics are going to change. Barcelona's going to go all out. You know what? Barcelona may tie it. They may tie it and go to extra time. Maybe not.
Right.
Because tactically, Juve is very, very well set up.
But you
back
know what
there.
They say? If my aunt had balls, she'd be my uncle.
I understand. But in this case, she didn't have balls.
Thank
she's your aunt. But in the case of the game, the referee's supposed to make the call, bro. The referee's supposed to make the call. And granted, somebody tweeted me and they had a point. They said, you're lucky Vidal didn't get red carded. You know what? You're right. Maybe Vidal could have got red carded because he was on a yellow when he smacked. What did he smack? Suarez? What did he smack? What did he smack? When he smacked, when he biffed
ready.
The guy in the back of the head?
I was getting ready.
I couldn't
watch it all like that.
I understand. But you know what? Maybe I'm just a frustrated Italian.
You are.
Frustrated.
Listen, the last person I wanted to see was Suarez with his chipmunk teeth.
Get his goal.
But
in reality, he's just a goal poacher, bro. That guy's always in the right place at the right time. He's just got that... He smells the goal, and he knows where to be, man. Because, honestly, that goal was created by Messi.
It was created
that
by Messi.
That goal was created by Messi. And honestly, Buffon, I love him.
Don't
great goalie.
Shit.
Come on, that rebound was too much, Sander. Come on, bro. He's got to parry that to the side. He's got to parry that shot to the side so that Suarez is not on the path of the rebound. He parries it, but he blocks it, and he puts it right up in the middle. And Suarez ends up scoring. And who did Suarez get by? Somebody blew an assignment there because somebody was supposed to be in front of Suarez there too. Like they let Suarez right by. Somebody blew an assignment there as well, I think. But anyway, credit to Barcelona. Very, very good team. I mean, they have 3 superstars up front with Messi, Neymar, and Luis Suarez. I want to throw up every time I say his name. I can't stand the guy. But he can play. He's a terrific footballer, as they say it in the UK. Soccer player, as we say.
He messed up a couple opportunities, too.
Yeah.
I mean, both teams did.
Yeah. The guy's good, though. Pogba played an awesome game. He hustled.
I started getting tweets right away.
What?
Right away from halftime, right when they scored, that I was right.
Bro, I was watching the game with our boy Stefano. I was watching that. I was watching. And you know what? He was, like, saying, bro, he really is a mush. He's even going to have Barcelona lose in a final. Even Barcelona's going to go lose in a final. And honestly, I didn't want to get into too much in the conversation, but unfortunately, I jumped the gun and I said, I'm going to name him Petey Mush. I said, I'm going to hashtag Petey Mush. I said, I'm going to hashtag Petey Mush. If Barcelona loses and he jinxed even Barcelona, I'm going to hashtag, he's not going to be Petey Podcast anymore. He's going to be Petey Mush. And we were making jokes, and then Luis Suarez scored a goal.
It's going to be a great idea. We could do you could do a gambling show and call it the Mushcast.
I got your mush.
The Mushcast. Yeah, what not to take.
Yes, I like that.
I got your mush in my shorts, kid.
Oh, that's disgusting.
Mm-hmm.
You're getting more disgusting
swinging
every week.
What about Neymar getting the cheap goal at the end, too?
Well, like I said, I was at Barclays by that point. I was on the way, and all I see was... Plus 8 minutes of injury time.
Yeah,
you said it was dignified.
They were throwing Barcelona. I mean, granted, it's soccer and football, as they say in the UK. But you know, they started throwing themselves on the floor every second.
Everybody
wasting,
does that. But
wasting 5 minutes every fake injury they had.
Have you ever seen 8 minutes?
Then they started doing it in injury time too. That's the problem. That's why there was 8 minutes.
Have you
or
ever
six
seen?
Minutes.
No, there was 8 minutes.
Was
dude.
It? I don't
he
know.
Scored
I
in
it
the
six.
Seventh minute.
Who scored in the seventh?
Neymar. The seventh minute of injury.
That's because they were throwing themselves on the floor even during the whole injury time. Then they made a sub during the injury time. I mean, listen. I personally, you know what I like, and a lot of you guys aren't going to remember unless you're a little older. I like when the injury time, the referee decided it, and that's it. Like, you didn't know ahead of time what the injury time was going to be.
Right, right, right.
Like, well, you just went past 90, and the referee's discretion, he decided when you blew the whistle. And we're talking old school here. We're talking about when I was a little kid. We're talking about...
They didn't put the sign up.
I'm talking about, like 1990. I think by 94 World Cup, it was already changed to putting the sign up. But 90 World Cup, the referee's discretion,
now
anything before that.
Now they have Zidane that puts the sign up.
Yeah, like, I don't like that. I really don't, because, you know, once you put the sign up, a lot of referees don't add any more time. So teams kill time during the injury time. Teams will kill time during injury time, like Barcelona was doing, making subs during
the
injury
time.
And then the referee
put up 8 minutes.
No, I don't know. He put up five. Put up five, which was, you know, a good amount of time, but I thought it was well deserved. Regardless, you got teams killing the time during the injury time. Well, most of the time, the referee doesn't add that time. So once you pass 90 and the injury time's already decided, if the team wants to kill time, they'll kill time, and the referee will still blow the whistle at the time that the fourth man decided the injury time was going to be. You know what I mean? So I don't like that. I don't like that at all, man.
What about when the goalie takes the intentional yellow by holding onto the ball?
Yeah. I don't think it's an intentional yellow. I think he's trying to milk it as much as he can. And sometimes,
but he knows that
he pisses
he's at
the referee
risk
off.
And he doesn't care. He gets a yellow. When does the goalie get a yellow?
You guys were talking about the FIFA guy that was going to get indicted, and didn't he?
Blatter, he resigned. He resigned.
And then what happened? Didn't he admit
that
to something,
scumbag,
too?
I don't know what he did. I don't know what he did, but that was... No, there was another guy that ratted everyone out.
Oh, right.
He just sang like a canary.
The Trinidad guy?
No, him too. But it was Blazer, Chuck Blazer.
Chuck Blazer.
Then he ratted the Trinidad guy out, and now they're thinking the Trinidad guy is going to ratted everyone. It was in the Sunday Daily News.
Is
I got to read
Trinidadian
it.
Guy?
Trinidadian, yeah. Right. You're right.
When
you said the Trinidad guy, I thought he worked the corner for Felix Trinidad.
No.
Dude, come on.
No. Lie on yourself. No joke. So we're gonna get into this FIFA thing. I know it's becoming a weekly routine here. We're gonna get into this.
It's a big deal.
After a break, we're gonna vent a little bit about FIFA. Let's take this break.
You're listening to former two-time world champion Paulie Malignaggi from Brooklyn to the world.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Introducing Paulie
Malignaggi takes you inside the ring and beyond.
Malignaggi!
This is Paulie Malignaggi from Brooklyn to the world.
We're back. Brooklyn to the world. We're back after a slow pause.
I had to release myself. In the men's room.
Just hope you didn't bring any of it back with you. That's all.
I did.
Mr. Shart.
Yeah.
Of course.
You got a lot of names.
Is that what we should call Chuck Blazer from FIFA?
Mr. Rat.
what do you think of him? I'm personally not too fond of him.
Hey, you busted your cherry.
Hey.
Yeah.
He definitely never learned those two valuable lessons, right?
Hey, what do you think of him?
Never rat on your friends and always keep your mouth shut. He never learned those two.
They said he was enjoying the benefits, though, of his FIFA networking.
Of course.
He was very good friends with Putin, and then he voted to have Russia get the 2018 Putin World Cup. Mm. They said he was a very good networker.
Yeah.
That's what they were calling it.
That's good.
He was a good people person, so a lot of people gravitated towards him, and then he knew how to kind of move his money around. He had an apartment. He had, I think, like a
$18,000 a month.
Oh, yeah, in the city.
$18,000 a month.
Yeah.
And then he had one for his cats.
$6,000 a month.
There's guys in the street that don't have a home, and this guy had a $6,000 a month apartment for his cats.
And you know where
on FIFA's dime.
You know where soccer balls get made, right? The kids in the street in India are sowing soccer balls.
Yeah.
And this guy's got a $6,000 a month apartment.
I want to make this guy sell my balls.
Easy. Why would you do that?
Why?
Why you want your balls sold, bro? I don't understand.
You got a hole in your nuts?
Well, I want to sew his balls, actually.
Why do you want to do that?
Just punish him, no?
Peter Cards is on a good one today.
Guy's a jerk off.
That's obvious.
Typical.
Yeah.
So, do you think anything should be done about this? I mean, what do you think? I don't understand.
We should bust his hole.
No.
What do you mean?
Seriously. I mean, he ratted everyone out. So, people are going to go down because I'm down the chain of command.
Sure.
Blatter ended up stepping down after winning the vote. Now, my thing about Blatter is everyone pretty much knows he's pretty corrupt. I mean, even though it hasn't proven the vote yet. My thing is this about him winning the vote. He's got everybody in his pocket. What if he has everybody in his pocket? I mean, I think a lot of all the football fans out there are soccer fans. Pretty sick of Sepp Blatter through the years. I mean, we've seen FIFA not make any really a lot of progress when he's been in charge, yet he's been in charge for 20 years. So does he have the voting committee in his pocket too? So that way, if they didn't vote for him and he still won, they would have to fear that they would be taken off the committee. So what happens? What do? You do the safe thing and you vote for him, right? Now he's had to step down, so somebody else is going to have to step in. I don't even... Did they elect someone back in already? Did they elect someone to take his place yet? I don't know. I don't
they
even
wanted
know.
Somebody from France or something.
But the guy that ran against
Which
him was like some Prince
Platini,
of Jordan or something. I don't want Platini. The last guy I need is Platini.
No, they wanted Platini's influence because he's French.
Platini, as awesome of a footballer as he was, is a jerk-off. A jerk-off.
I understand.
As an Italian, we all used to love Platini, even though he scored on Italy in the 86 World Cup. But, you know, he had to do what he had to do. He was playing for France. But, I mean, he spent so much time in Italy, and he had a great career at Juventus. And he's just a jerk-off now that he has this presidency of UEFA. But I don't want anything with Platini. I mean, if you put Platini at the head of FIFA, I don't think anything's good is going to happen. If you put anybody under his influence at the head of FIFA, I don't think anything as good is going to happen, honestly. Just look at the last World Cup, bro. France barely qualified. Like, literally barely, by the skin of their teeth, qualified. Then they got the easiest first-round group out of everybody. And they they weren't even in the A bracket for the, when they, you know, when they draw the groups. They weren't in the A bracket. How do you get a group like France got after barely qualifying for the World Cup?
Didn't they qualify
the draw's not rigged?
Didn't they qualify by Henry, like, slapping the ball?
No, that was 4 years before. Oh. They qualified where Ukraine beat them 2-0 in the first game. Then they came back and beat them 3-0 in the playoff, because they didn't win their group, so they had to go to a playoff. So,
all right, they sent
Ukraine home. Yeah, Ukraine was beat them 2-0 in the first game. Shevchenko.
Yeah.
They beat Ukraine beat them 2-0 in the first game, in the first leg of the playoff, and then they came back and beat Ukraine 3-0 in the second leg. So you barely qualified. You're not one of the 8 top seeds when you draw the groups. So you end up in a group with Switzerland. First of all, the fact that they made Switzerland a top seed was a joke in and of itself, and that's the group France wound up in, seriously? I mean, and then France, the way they were playing early, they made you think like they were going to do what they were going to do. Meantime, it was all an illusion. It was all because they had that easy group. Then when they got to Germany in the quarterfinals, they couldn't even touch the ball. One of the most boring games of the World Cup, a game that I was so looking forward to. Anybody that remembers the last World Cup, that Germany-France game, horrible. Horrible. Yeah. Thought I was going to fall asleep through it. But anyway.
Germany dominated,
but it was a boring game. Regardless, though, I just don't think Platini is a good influence up there. Great career in Italy, great footballer, but I don't know. He just something shady about that guy too. I'm not a crazy fan of him.
He's another jag off.
Is he? Yeah. Well, you know, I'm putting it simply.
Fired up today, man.
Yeah.
Everybody's a
jerk off or a jag off or a rat. He's not
or
too
sowing
fun.
Nuts and
you know what? Why don't you tell us about Daniel Gill? What do you think about Daniel Gill?
God.
You know, while you're on it, while everybody's on your shit list, go ahead.
You want to get me started on this guy?
What happened?
Guy's like 170 something pounds fighting a former junior welterweight, and the guy can't go 4 rounds. You imagine this shit?
I agree with you.
Every time he got hit, which first of all. I mean, I'm going to say it for you, and then you could say, I'll tell you, everybody, that it. Still to this day, nobody mentioned that Cotto hit him with a headbutt to set up that hook.
Yeah.
Roy Jones, you fought how many years, cuz? I mean, it was just right in front of your face. If you didn't catch it live, anybody there, how many years experience? Anybody want to catch that on a replay? Explain how it went down. The throwaway right hand to the body.
Well, Cotto and Canelo set up a lot of their shots the same way. It's that hooking style. So basically, what you do is you end up doing it. You use the right hand as a decoy. You throw it. It's a throwaway punch where you're throwing it kind of hard, but not really hard. And basically what you're using it is you're using it to cock your hip to its left. When you throw that right hand, your hip gets cocked to the left so that there's a lot of leverage when you come back with a follow-up hook. While Cotto threw that throwaway right hand, he also came in with his head. So Gil braced for the throwaway right hand because, you know, you don't know it's a throwaway right hand until you actually feel it.
It
doesn't tickle, but at the same time, you don't know if it's a throwaway punch or not. So the trick is to get you to react to it, which Gil did.
Which
you know, that's why it's a throwaway punch. You want the guy to react to it. Gil did by trying to brace himself and close himself up. When he closed himself up, Cotto also came in with his head, so he buttered him. He butted him. It forced Gil to come back up. He forced Gil to pop back up just enough. Instead of ducking, he was able to have to, he had to come back just enough. And what happens when he had to come back just up enough? He was there for the hook that Cotto was going to throw the whole time, because the throwaway right hand was there to cock the left hook. The fact that Cotto also came in with his head kept Gil's head up, as opposed to you're not gonna duck into the headbutt. You just took a headbutt. Your instant reaction when you get buttered is to pull back, to pull away. So the headbutt also did the trick, along with the throwaway right hand. It put him in position. It kept his head up. So that hook, fully cocked and loaded,
or smash back.
Boom.
It like smash
really
back.
Really had a lot of leverage on it, and obviously you saw the result. Daniel Gil went down. Go ahead, Peter. Why is Gil on your shit list? I mean, that's a hard hook he got hit with.
It is. But dude, I mean, how did he go from getting the payday with Triple G? He didn't deserve,
right?
Then now he's fighting Cotto.
Title fight too, right?
Yeah.
How do you get a title fight after you get knocked out in 3 rounds?
Well, you know, sometimes.
No, but I mean, no offense to my kangaroos over there in Australia, but these guys have these blown up records, these padded records. They suck.
Well, not all.
But I'm saying,
Kashizu was a good fighter.
I hear you.
Jeff Fennec was good.
Jeff Fennec was good, yeah.
Kashizu was a Russian that.
Yeah,
emigrated. Okay.
Come on, but I mean, this guy—you could see that he's not
a club fighter.
Yeah, he's a club fighter. In this country, you would never make it to ESPN.
Wow,
you know what I'm saying?
Yep.
And he's now he's on this big stage, and you go quit like
and
that.
And you know what?
At least try.
People are gonna say, "Oh, he was a world champion with some." You know what? He beat Sebastian Sylvester for the title, and Sebastian Sylvester was basically got his title bought by Universal. Or not Universal, by Salad.
It's ridiculous.
You know, Sebastian Sylvester is horrible. Horrible.
Well, at least we can move on now to a bigger
he'll beat him for the title.
When you're sitting there, and he's sitting there, he looks at Cotto, and he goes, "Mink, what are you doing here?" He gets hit with a hook. He gets up. He goes, "Next thing I know, ping, pow, boom." Saw the paper, and my head was like this.
He gets Joe up. Pesci,
good fellas. He gets up. He sees him in front. He goes, "What are you doing here? I thought
I told you to go fuck." Usual, nothing. Yeah.
Zero, nothing. What am I going to tell you?
Bang,
you fuck.
Bing, zero. Yeah.
Next thing you know, he gets up. He sees this big prick again. He says, "Mink, what are you still doing here? I thought I told you to go fuck your mother." Ping, pow, boom.
And that's what happened with Gil.
Yeah.
He got up, ping.
And the best,
boom.
Yeah, that was it. And then he quits. How do you quit, guy? This guy,
the
this
check
guy
already cleared.
Listen,
the corner told him that check cleared.
This guy fought him when he was Miguel Cotto in his prime, 140 pounds.
Listen,
they go 12 rounds.
Forget about my fight with Cotto, because you know that's a long time ago and all that stuff. Here's what I tell you about that: Gil had been losing the fight, unquestionably was losing every round, but it hadn't been an overly crazy pace.
It wasn't that bad.
He hadn't taken anything crazy hard yet until that round. You know, he hadn't been hit with a big bomb until that round. He took some shots, but nothing huge. The pace wasn't a crazy pace where it was totally uncomfortable. So, you know, you're in a fight, so you're not going to be very comfortable a lot of the moments. You're in a fight with one of the best fighters in the world, pound for pound. So, you know, you're going to have to expect some kind of adversity in that fight. So when the adversity finally came in round four, because let's face it, he lost the first 3 rounds, but he wasn't, you know, it wasn't a crazy adversity.
Pulverized,
it wasn't getting
right.
Pulverized. Like you know, you're in a championship fight, you got to fight. The first sign of adversity, that was my problem. The first sign of adversity, he packed it in.
He just looked at the ref, was like, "Nah, I'm all set.
Yeah, I'm good."
Really? You flew all the way over here. Isn't it like a 24-hour flight?
It's long.
It's a long flight.
That's 48 hours,
I've
buddy.
Been over there.
Round have you?
Yeah.
Have you? I want to go there, yeah.
You would love it, dude.
Yeah, everybody tells me it's awesome.
It is. So
not just the Australians. A lot of people have visited told me it's awesome.
So laid
too.
Back, yeah.
Very maybe cool. I should go in the winter because it's summer over there.
And they're making issues about catch weights. You're worried about catch weights?
Right.
I don't get... The guy could have weighed 190. It wouldn't have mattered. His heart still was pumping Gatorade instead of blood.
But he still made Cotto look good, and now it sets Cotto up for a big fight, right?
Well... You know, Cotto did his job.
Cotto's right. Cotto. He did his job, you know?
Cotto did his job.
This guy just isn't on this level.
It's a safe fight, though, right, guys? I mean,
Yeah. Sure.
I don't think anybody thought Gil had a realistic shot. But, you know, it was a good barometer. You took the under.
I took the under. That was
in the
lock.
Event that,
nice.
You know, if you did gamble, you theoretically you took the
mush
under.
Who's a mush?
Yeah, mush this.
Beautiful. So
Sam Mushnick.
Mush this $100 in your face.
So
whoa.
So...
Big time.
So, no joke. I mean, it was a ex-world champion, so on paper, right. The win still looks good.
Okay, another thing. Whoever watched it, if you guys didn't notice, I want to point this out. Oh, I love my Puerto Rican friends, and that little island produces some talent. They're amazing, right?
You like the girls too?
Yeah, of course. I mean, come on, my whole life before I got engaged. I mean, Jesus Christ, like Puerto Rican.
Let's get out of sickness with Puerto Rican girls.
That's understandable.
So go ahead.
They produce a lot more than just talented athletes. Let's just say that. Okay. J-Lo, for instance.
All right, go ahead. What do you get to the point? Come on. Losing his train of thought thinking about Puerto Rican girls over here.
The little guy.
Put it away, Petey.
The little guy with the big flag, dude. How big was that flag?
Manker.
That flag.
You
covered,
told him to put it down. You couldn't even see from our seats. You couldn't watch.
It was the size of San Juan. I'm not kidding you, dude. But they had the littlest guy, like, carrying the port. I'm like, this little prick. If there was, like high wind or something, he was going, bro.
That was his sail, though. He would have flew with it.
If it was a stadium, like, and not an arena, he's gone. It would have been like the opposite of the parachute guy with a boat fight, right?
He would have took off.
It would have took off. He was gone. The pole on that flagpole was, it was like a foul pole.
I felt bad for him. I think had to get heavy.
What the hell is he doing?
Hey, when you guys start to fight, do they play the interview? Can you hear it and sit in the stands? With Max,
you know what?
We made like a ration broke.
Yeah,
out
I went to the back. I had to pee so bad, yeah. Man.
Surprising. Why didn't you just pee in the bottle?
No, I was like crowded. I went to the locker room because I had my young guy on the undercard.
That's right.
Yeah, he did good.
Tell us about that real quick.
Second round knockout.
What's his name?
Junior Yunan, the young guard, 168 pounds.
Oh.
It was a good event for him because his first fight with Rock Nation as well as it was Cotto's. Big event, you know, a lot of media, so a lot of people got to see him on that stage. He fought a guy that was, he tried, you know, the guy was 6-3. The guy had some knockouts, but he really didn't land the glove on
our
guy. Yeah, absolutely. My guy's real talented, you know.
Tell us about him. What's his style and everything?
He's real fast for that weight, you know, and he hits hard with both hands. And a lot of times, Paulie could tell you because he's seen him grow up, a lot of times, being powerful is one thing, but when the power comes with the speed, it's even more
natural.
Effective. You know, it's just more, it's like a whip effect. And when he hits you with something you don't see, it's really like...
stunning.
It's stunning, yeah. It really puts these guys out of position. They get overwhelmed, and that's really what he did. The guy tried. He got dropped in the first round. He survived, and then the second round, my guy just let loose on him. He caught him with a nice check hook at the end, and that was pretty much all she wrote.
Nice, congratulations, man.
Thank you. There's always room for improvement. He's still young. He's only 19 years old, you know, so we got a long ways to go before we see him in any big, big fights. But, you know, it's a ladder and climbing up and stuff. But once the fights were over, we ran into the back, used the bathroom, and then we headed out. And we got stopped by a couple of fans that love the podcast.
Yeah.
Right?
Nice. PD Podcast getting his name out there. Famous. You know, people didn't know. You know,
they knew Seth too.
Well, Seth was, yeah, but Seth's not with us. That's the thing. Seth, you got to get out and you got to get out a little bit.
You got to come
mingle.
He's going to invite me.
The lay down country.
Peter Cards is out there. He's mingling. He's talking to the people. He's a man of the people.
He's
you
a
know?
Man of the people.
Seth, you got to be a man of the people.
I'm
you
trying.
Know? And you got to endorse the fame. You got to mm-hmm. endorse it.
It's hard, man.
Embrace it. Not endorse it. Embrace it.
Embrace it.
Like Peter Cards did. So, you know, people were talking to Peter Cards. You know, I've had Peter Cards around me my whole career, but people just didn't know about this.
The talent?
They always said
larger than life personality.
Right. And now,
until,
you know, they always
the podcast,
say, hey Pete,
let you get to know him
how's,
a little bit.
How's Paulie? Now it's, hey Pete, love the podcast.
You.
If you all look at my old footage of my early career, Pete's there. Pete's there, guys.
He's still a lot
here.
Skinnier.
He's still here.
Yeah, he's still here.
A lot skinnier.
It looks like it's two of them now, but he's still here.
Double vision or something.
I ate my old self.
So one thing Cotto said, I won't tell you the whole thing in the interview, but Max, like, do you consider yourself a middleweight? And he's like, no.
Oh, yeah.
No,
yeah, we
said,
watched it. We watched it when we got home.
He said, yesterday, I weigh 153.6. Do I look like middleweight?
Yeah,
dead serious. Right? Like if I'm Max, I get scared when he answers me like that.
Yeah. No, I thought he was good. He's just
no. That's just Miguel. Yeah. He's just a serious dude. But
yeah, he's cool.
But in reality, he was saying he wasn't a real middleweight.
I have 44 fight. Canelo is just going to be another fight.
Gonna be a good another fight. Tell you
yeah,
that.
It is.
Man,
yeah.
you can't have a better matchup than that.
I like
man.
That fight. I like yeah. It's action packed. It's a big fan base for both fighters.
How you guys picked the fight?
Who am I picking to win?
Yeah.
Too early. Come on. Too early. Don't.
No?
Come on. Don't.
All right.
Don't.
All right.
Let's build it up a little bit. Oh, come on. Let's let the people like make him, let the people embrace it and let the people.
You know what?
Get that excited one. About
that
it.
One. That one is worth $100 a pay per view. I think.
But Oscar said it's not gonna cost $100.
It's not. But
which
it's,
I think was a zinger to Mayweather Pacquiao, right?
Of course it is. But yeah. it's worth it. I would pay it.
You know, those guys took advantage, and rightfully so.
Yeah, I mean, Mayweather, Canelo and Cotto, I don't think there's any other, there's any way it can't be an exciting fight. Both guys have that seek and destroy type of boxing style. The bell rings. They're not looking to play patty cake in there, and they're not looking to fight defensively. You know, some fighters are very good defensively, and, you know, stylistically, sometimes the fight doesn't work out well. But stylistically, this fight... Both guys have that machismo where they want to obliterate whoever's across the ring from them.
Yeah, they don't
want
to.
It's
going to
be like two runaway trains.
Yeah, they don't want to give each
colliding.
Other manicures and pedicures. They want to bust each other's faces.
And unlike Manny and Floyd, they have something to fight for because the winner can go on and fight Triple G in another big money fight.
Yeah,
right?
Well, I don't know if the winner's going to be so excited about fighting Triple G anyway.
I
got to be honest with you.
I don't know if that's the bonus.
If I'm one of those guys, I don't know if I'd be excited about fighting Triple G.
I don't know if that's the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow, so to speak.
There's gold, but you'll be black and blue when you get some gold.
Right.
I think that fight in and of itself will be a very violent and exciting fight, and I think, you know, both guys will get a well-deserved knee. Will need a well-deserved rest after taking each other on. So, I mean, Golovkin's always going to be there, and I think, you know, in the long run, I'm sure he will fight the winner, but I think at the moment it's time to get excited about Cotto versus Canelo. You know, it's a good fight. There's also another card on Saturday. Robert Guerrero fought Aaron Martinez. What a fight, bro. You know, PBC. All you guys out there keep complaining about PBC, the matchups, but you guys are dead wrong every time. And I don't see anybody saying, you know what, we were wrong. I don't see anybody. I only see the complaints beforehand, and we're still getting complaints.
On board now.
We're still getting complaints even for the future matchups for the summer. And when those matchups end up being good, you're not going to hear anybody saying, oh, we were wrong. We were wrong.
But what do they have to complain about?
Right. If you're
nothing to complain about.
Broner versus Porter coming up. What is there to complain about?
As far as matchups are concerned, some of them on paper are more mouth-watering than others. But when the fights have gone into the ring, each and every time, the fights have lived up for the most part. I mean, dude, what have we had so far? We had Thurman Guerrero. That was a good fight. We had Berto Josito Lopez. That was a good fight. Garcia Peterson.
Great
that
fight.
Was a good fight. Yeah. And even Quillen Ali was competitive and good,
great
pretty
fight.
Good fight. Wilson, we had. There's been so many
Stevenson.
Shows. Adonis Stevenson. Okay. Adonis and Sakio.
It was all right.
It wasn't bad. But you know what? You're seeing Adonis. You're seeing Berbiev, you know, and possibly get matched up against each other. You know, you're building up in that card. What else have you had? You had DeGale and Durrell was a tremendous card. Omar Figueroa and Ricky Burns. Tremendous. That was a good fight. Bro.
It was
a good fight. And listen, maybe you're not a fan of the Sweet Science. Okay, if you're a fan of the Sweet Science,
right.
Okay,
you're wasn't a great tactical.
But if you're a fight,
it's a good competitive fight.
Figueroa was never in a bad fight, and Burns and Figueroa lived up to that. And I'm probably missing some of the cards, guys. Where's the bad fights? Where's the bad fights? Will you stop complaining? You losers at home, stop complaining. You losers. You are a loser. Loser. You understand me? You understand the words that are coming out of my mouth? You understand what's going on over here? We got good fights on PBC. Stop
what
complaining.
What else you want to watch?
No. In reality, even the ones that are on paper that you don't expect to be good, wind up being good. And that's what Saturday happened. What happened Saturday? Robert Guerrero and Aaron Martinez. Oh, we don't know Aaron Martinez. Oh, these.
You got to know him.
Well, you got to know Aaron Martinez. That was a good ass fight. And he had Guerrero down.
He dropped him.
Yo,
dude,
Guerrero went on pause.
Did Thurman just crack the egg?
I think Guerrero. Maybe. No, I think Guerrero like needed a bit more of a break after the Thurman fight. Like that was.
That's a little.
I understand you want to go get paid right away because, you know, Al treats the fighters so good and he pays us really well for these fights. But, you know, I understand you want to jump right back in so you make a lot of money. But, damn, dude, you got to look out for your health too. I mean, Guerrero was in a rough fight with Thurman. He could have used a bit of a break. I don't think anybody would have predicted that. Robert Guerrero would be back in the ring before Keith Thurman after that fight.
What did I say when you said, oh, Guerrero's fighting? I said, already?
Yeah, it's crazy.
As soon as I heard the date, I'm like
and let's not discredit Aaron Martinez. Aaron Martinez came to fight, and he showed up for the opportunity of his career, and
he sure
fought
did,
very well. And you know what? He could have got that decision. It was close.
But,
it was close.
That was bad, man.
I mean, Guerrero was on pause, dude. Yeah. You see the way he got hurt?
Yeah.
I mean,
he stiffened up. He was square.
He stood up, but his arms dropped. Like he's lucky he went down, or the fight could have got stopped.
Yeah.
He did the Castillo against Corrales,
that's
where he's standing up and his arms just went down.
Completely square on the
He was unconscious standing up. He's lucky he went down, or that fight gets stopped right there. You know? Crazy. And he's lucky the bell rang.
He was completely
And then he showed the warrior's heart. You know, got
always,
up the next round and came back. And that's it. Well, Robert, you don't question that ever.
He's a tough bastard.
But again, PBC, another good fight. Question it and complain about PBC all you want. We will still continue to bring you good fights, whether you expect them or not. Just sit down. You know you're going to watch it anyway, so shut up. Shut up. Because the people that are complaining, you got no life. What are you going to do? Go get laid? What are you going to do? You know you're gonna be on your couch that Saturday afternoon, and you're going to watch the fight. And then after the fight, you know, you're going to say, man, that was a good fight. But you're not going to tweet about it, or you're not going to say that publicly, because then that would be against everything you stand for, which is a hater. So that, God forbid you wouldn't hate. You know, God forbid you would say you were wrong. And the PBC's, listen, I'm not going to tell you every fight is fight of the year, but it's not been there hasn't been bad fights. Okay. Bruno Molina, maybe.
Correct.
Okay. Maybe Bruno Molina. You know, you're going to get so many cards. You're going to get a couple of tedious ones here and there. But you know what? At the end of the day, it's boxing on television. Guys, stop complaining. Or go watch ping pong. All right? Stop complaining.
Shut up. Watch it.
Where you catch a what?
Beaten. This guy's on TV catching beatings. And you're complaining. Sit there with your hand on your balls inside your sweatpants and watch.
Boxing fans have nothing to complain about, man. This has been a resurgence this year. PBC's been a huge, a godsend for
the
sport.
It's been great, and you know, and there's been other good, solid fights, not on PBC too.
Right, HBO, you know? Always in Showtime.
Yeah, boxing's
been
great.
Nothing to complain about.
And,
if you're a fan of boxing, you're nothing to complain about.
And ESPN's picking up PBC.
ESPN's picking up PBC too. Yeah,
it's hot, man.
Some good stuff. Some good stuff coming up on ESPN as well. Boom.
Boxing fans are just living the dream.
Ma! The meatloaf!
The meatloaf! This fight's on! Need the meatloaf!
So, what do we got? We gotta take a break. We're gonna get back and we're gonna talk about that. You know what I wanna talk about? I wanna talk about that EBU okayed my bid to try to get a shot at the European title. And, you know, whether we're...
That's interesting.
You do have dual citizenship.
I do have dual citizenship. Not that many people know. Let's talk about that when we come back from break.
You're listening to former two-time world champion Paulie Malignaggi. From Brooklyn to the world.
We're back. Hey, you played DraftKings this weekend?
I didn't.
You know what?
You're supposed to.
You're supposed to. Play and use the word and use the code Paulie M, bro.
I know, dude. But you know what? If you watch,
I like him when he doesn't.
Do you know what it is?
I'm not even official. I'm just a guy who works here.
Paulie M. PAULIEM. PAULIEM. You get a discount code. We got a built-in discount code.
Do you guys know who Chris Sale is? Do you know Chris Sale?
We got no choice. We got to play. You kidding me? These guys help us out. DraftKings.com.
I started out two wins in a row. I
stuttering
should say.
Today. You're like a stuttering prick today. I don't understand what's wrong with you, bro. Excited. I don't know.
It's getting a little sad now.
You know that bandage on your foot is bigger than your head. No, I started.
You said you were all right, Spider.
Two in a row and wins.
No, I said you're all right, Spider. I meant like I was
I
all right, Spider.
I am all right. You're not all right. No, I had two wins in a row, and then like. I don't know. To me, it's like I'm always about the pitching. Remember what I told you? I had Shoemaker.
Go ahead. Shoemaker.
A lot of these pitchers. Look at
Jockey.
But look at Kershaw. Look at these guys. They're not that dominant. Like it's hard to pick.
Chris Sale is the man on the White Sox. He just set a record.
Sale.
He had 10 strikeouts in 4 straight games. Letting up less than a run or less. Yeah.
Beast.
Killing it.
So
that's
so,
a
do
guy.
You go,
yeah.
do you,
that's
have you
a
been
guy.
Chasing Sale on DraftKings?
No,
or
no,
no, you haven't. Of course not.
I got it.
Why would you do that?
Burnett. A.J. Burnett is doing really well.
Can you imagine? Yeah, because he left the Yankees. Remember, he had a
no,
black
he was
guy.
Horrible with the
he showed up with a black guy in the Yankees and, like, he didn't want to talk about it. I think he got caught cheating. His wife popped him one, I think.
Yeah, she threw a fastball at him.
Yeah. He's a big dude, man. I saw A.J. Burnett.
Yeah,
he's a big dude.
He's so frustrating, right? He's either lights out or gets lit up.
He's really good in the National League.
Yeah. Because he can't hit over there.
Right.
Well, there's also... No, it's not that. You got to get the pitch against the pitcher. So sometimes you get yourself out of a jam by pitching against the pitcher.
Absolutely.
You know? You got
that's
two outs and the pitcher comes up instead of the DH. Bro,
that's a fact.
Sometimes that's the inning.
That helps. Like Greg Maddux never came to the American League.
Yeah.
But you got to play, dude.
Yeah,
I played.
I got to really...
Paulie M. PAULIEM. Come on, Pete. Seriously. Guys, at home, DraftKings.com, use the promo code PAULIEM, PAULIEM. Do not be like Peter Cards.
And as everybody knows, the best thing about it is daily fantasy. Every day, you have it. Baseball's every day. You can play.
That's what's awesome about it.
Yeah, it's great. It's awesome. Go DraftKings.com. DraftKings.com.
DraftKings.com. Use the promo code PaulieM. And remind Peter Cards. Somebody tweet Peter Cards and remind him to play DraftKings.com.
You know what it is?
Give these guys help out our show.
Yeah, give me some picks. Get me back in. I want to
give Petey's locks. Hashtag Petey's locks.
Put my toe back in the water for me, guys.
Just when you thought you were out,
guys,
pull you back
pull
in.
Pull me back in.
Give Petey some locks, guys, at home. You know, on anything.
DraftKings.com. I need a winner. I want to win like something big because you always look at the prizes.
Guys, they won $1 million.
Yeah, that's what I need.
You do.
You should do.
I'll get DraftKings.
What would you do if you won
DraftKings?
If you won $1 million on DraftKings.com,
I would get it tattooed on my ass cheek.
You would?
What, are you kidding me?
I'm gonna hold you to that. If you win $1 million, if Peter Cards wins $1 million,
what's it gonna say? Tattoo
on DraftKings.com.
DraftKings.com.
I like it.
What, are you kidding me?
And if I won $1 million, what will you do at your construction job?
I'd send my papers so fast.
What do you mean?
I'd send a letter from DraftKings.
Your father-in-law is one of your bosses, though.
So he'll understand.
What do you sign? You're gonna pink slip yourself?
Absolutely.
If you win $1 million
with a letterhead, from DraftKings,
you're gonna fax it.
To whom this may concern, Peter Cards.
Dear
father-in-law.
So you're gonna submit your walking papers is what you're saying?
Are you kidding me, dude? That would be so fast.
Not even a question.
Their heads.
So he's gonna
spin.
Get a tattoo of DraftKings.com on his ass, and then he's gonna submit his walking papers at his job. Are you gonna put promo code PaulieM on your ass too or no?
I might do that
if you use it. You gotta use
if
it.
I use it.
Yeah. If you win $1 million using the promo code,
there's
right.
plenty of space down there.
Yeah, my ass.
So back to boxing.
It'll be a billboard. It won't be a tattoo.
Back to boxing, guys. The EBU granted me an exception that I was able to become the mandatory for the EBU title. And winning the EBU title has always been one of my goals in my career. And some people look down on it because they're saying, you know what, you know, you fight for world championships, you fight for money, and you fight for those big fights. What do you need the EBU title for? Well, for some people, first of all, the EBU title is big, and maybe it's not always
for you,
about the money.
It is a big
for
deal.
Me, it's important because it establishes my European roots, and not that many people know about my European roots. That, you know, my family's all born in Italy. I'm the first person in my family born in the United States. I lived in Italy for 6 years as a kid because my family moved back to Italy, so I spent part of my childhood there. And you know, so for me, it's more about establishing my roots. My grandfather lives in New York, and, you know, never lets me forget and never let us forget where we came from and, you know, how we got here and all that stuff. And, you know, with all respect to the United States for giving us the opportunity, you know, we are Italian-blooded and we are Italian. A lot of the people in my family are born in Italy, including my little brother, because, you know, when I was...
Italian?
Yeah. You couldn't tell, right?
I didn't know.
So, you know, winning the European title was always one of my goals ever since I turned pro, actually. So it's
who's the champ?
Gianluca Bronco is the champ, which people are going to say, oh, why would you take a step down, fight a guy like Bronco? And it's not really about the level of opposition. It's more about just winning the EBU title and just establishing the fact that, you know, I'm proud of my roots. I'm proud of where I come from. I'm proud of where, you know, where my family's from. My father still lives in Italy, even though I don't have a great relationship with him. You know, we do talk here and there. You know, my little brother Umberto, like I said, is born in Italy. Obviously, my mom was born in Italy. Most of my family's all born in Italy. You know, I was the first one in my direct family to be born in the United States. So it's something that is close to my heart, is dear to my heart. I would like to win it if I can. It was always one of my goals when I turned pro to win the EBU title. Big shout out to the EBU. You know, it's something that I'm really grateful for, that they put me in the mandatory position. The mandatory slot, and hopefully we can make it happen somehow. You know, obviously we want the big fights in the U.S. That's what establishes legacy. That's what, you know, the big money is, and you know, we're still going to try for that this summer. But if we can slip in the shot at the EBU title by the end of October, which is when my mandatory time expires, I think it would be something I'd be proud of, and really it would mean a lot to me. So, you know, we'll see if they give me, you know, we can make it happen, and it would be something cool. So, you know, we'll figure it out. We want the big fight in the U.S. in the summer. I'm gonna try to figure that out. You know what? I'm greedy. You know, I want to fight on a regular basis. I want the EBU title, but I also want that big U.S. fight as well. And so, if we can make both happen, and calendar wise, we might be able to squeeze in both fights. We'll see if it works out. And that's all about that. So, big shout out to the EBU.
Yeah, you know what? And we wouldn't mind fighting in the U.K.
Yeah, the U.K. fans are great.
Make a nice trip.
What, you think some of those guys can drink you under the table? They know how to party, bro.
Listen, they drink a lot of beer, bro. Let's not get excited.
What does that mean?
They drink
you
beers.
Can't handle your liquor?
I've seen, I partied with them when you fought Hatton. They drink beers all day. They can drink, don't get me wrong.
But not like you, what are you saying?
It's different. It's just different. There's different levels to this shit.
Anybody out there have partied with Peter Cards, you guys know exactly what he's getting at right now. He's a different specimen of animal.
He's a specimen, all right.
At a certain time of the night. Sometimes you don't want to be near him. And sometimes you do want to be near him. It depends on the mood that he's in by that point when he's had a few. So that's that. You know, on a more somber note, sometimes we get into these somber notes.
Unfortunately.
Referee Frank Cappuccino passed away.
That's horrible.
One of the better referees in boxing. He had a lot of big fights, a lot of big assignments, including Gotti versus Ward 1. He even refereed one of Rocky's fights.
Gotti versus Ward 1. If it wasn't for him, that fight
we have had 2 and 3.
That fight would have got stopped.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy. Think about that.
And you know what? Nobody would have blamed him for stopping the fight, but man.
But he knew, as he called him, Arthur.
He called Arturo Arthur, yeah.
He knew what kind of fighter Arthur was. So he let it keep going.
Rest
and that
in peace.
Led to the trilogy. Rest in peace,
Frank Cappuccino. Rest in peace, Arturo Gatti, as well.
Pour a little bit
I'm
out.
I'm gonna pour a little out for Cappuccino.
Yeah.
I don't have any cappuccino to pour out for.
That's
him,
pretty cool, though, right? His last name is supposed to trace back to the drink, right? It's gotta
somehow. Yeah. Right. Makes sense.
How could that happen?
I don't know. Stanley Cup playoffs last night. The Lightning went up 2-1.
That was a barn burner.
I don't really want to talk about it, dude. I hate the Lightning. They ruined my season. They ruined my NHL playoff season.
Didn't I see the first 2 goals last night were by ex-Rangers?
Yeah.
Callahan and Richards?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
How about that?
All the Rangers are in the Stanley Cup Finals except the Rangers. Just like the Knicks in the NBA Finals.
Yeah.
All the Knicks are in the NBA Finals except the Knicks.
How about those, Nick? How about the finals?
The Cavs,
with
man.
The,
Jesus.
You see the 105-year-old lady that's a Golden State Warriors fan?
Forget the 105-year-old lady. What about Dellavedova?
Bro, what about the 105-year-old lady? What about if she dies as they win?
Like, that's Jesus. Terrible. Come on, dude.
What better way to go out? Are you kidding me? Think about it.
Seriously,
the team wins.
Always got to put a damper on something, bro.
No, but she's 106. I mean, she's at this point. Listen, do you want to live to 106?
If I got my wits about me, sure.
106?
Why not?
You want to live to 106?
I want
to
live forever, kid.
Yeah. We take care of ourselves. You know,
at 106.
You don't want
to
make 50.
That, to me, that's punishment. I'm like, God, what did I do so bad here? I got to be here 106 years?
What do you mean? You know the new technology you'll see if you're here when you're 106? Yeah.
They'll give you a new liver.
You know,
I could see a
3D liver. They use a 3D printer.
Oh, that would
liver.
Be nice.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Give me a 3D liver.
You'll probably go through 2 or 3 in your lifetime.
Yeah.
I imagine, right?
It's horrible.
You might have to call a friend of ours to get the next one.
Friend of ours. Not a friend of yours or mine, no. A friend of ours.
No, but LeBron just willed that. I mean, and also, you know, is Curry going to have another bad game? Like, Curry had a horrible game.
Dellavedova.
Dellavedova.
Give him credit.
Give him the Italian last name. Oh. Come on. I know a lot of Italians emigrated to Australia. You know that guy's got some Italian in him.
They were butchering his name, aren't they?
Yeah, Dellavedova. It actually means of the widow or from the widow.
Oh, he's like the widowmaker.
Dellavedova, yeah.
That's what
But they call him Dellavedova. It's actually pronounced in Italian, Dellavedova.
That'd be cool. That should be like the widowmaker.
Pretty crazy.
Be a cool nickname,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Crazy, you know?
But LeBron,
he played really well. He really shut down Curry.
And he grinded.
I want to see how Curry adjusts to him in the next game.
Curry played and got, you know, he played in like things that guys don't get credit for. You know, he played defense. He hustled.
Well,
he
LeBron
grinded.
Noticed. LeBron gave him credit.
Oh, LeBron. Well, LeBron is an all-around player. I mean, LeBron's been to the big ball.
Yeah, Curry said, look, we held him to 33%. You know, it's not like the, you know, Golden State played well defensively. They're just, you know, Curry missing all those shots. And they still almost pulled the game out.
Are you trying to blame Curry for the loss? Is that what you're trying to do?
Inadvertently, yeah. I'm not going to try to rag on him, but, you know, he was 2 for 15.
He missed the most 3-point attempts in the NBA Finals.
Since John Starks, we know that one hurt.
Well, John missed all shots.
Yeah, 2 for 17.
All right. What about our boy Gaby? Yesterday was his birthday.
Happy birthday, right? Gaby.
Happy birthday, Gaby.
Who's Gaby?
It's one of our very close friends.
But he's
the biggest degenerate gambler.
Because Peter's not, of course.
No.
Come on. Really?
Peter's like calling the pot calling the kettle black when he talks about Gaby.
But I mean, seriously.
Ucheco di Gigo Nuda Lazano, as we say in Sicilian.
But seriously?
Olazano di Gigo Nuda Ucheco the other way around.
Slow Adam.
What?
I mean, really?
Come on. Why? What did Gabe do this
guy,
weekend?
The guy bets a horse. He wins.
Tell
and the,
him,
and
tell
the jockey falls off the horse and he loses. I mean, that's the type of shit this guy has.
That
been.
Really happened. That's
it really happened.
All right, tell him what kind of locks he called you for.
So he had, but he had the Cavs.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
The other day.
I'm like, bro, it's your birthday.
You didn't have the Cavs. You had the Golden State. Exactly. So that's what I mean about ragging on Gabe. So go ahead.
Yeah, go get
it. Why don't you call him about... Why don't you let everyone know what he did the night of the Mayweather fight, Mayweather-Pacquiao?
I thought I said it. I didn't say it. No. I had freaking a five-foot hero. I had four pies. I had like 30 people over the house, which he was on his way. But he's calling me about Lomachenko and who
Lomachenko is. Lomachenko. Another one they call him Lomachenko. Lomachenko. There's no N.
All right.
God, why can't anybody now pronounce this guy's name right? Where's the N?
You're the
Lomachenko,
commentator.
Not Lomachenko.
You're the commentator, not me.
Lomachenko. Got
Shut
it.
Up.
Go ahead.
I'll take care of you later.
Shut up.
So he's calling me, and I'm trying to help my fiance Alyssa get ready. You know, we're trying to be hosts.
What are you doing? Put on our pantyhose for her?
No,
doing?
I'm saying like getting the plates.
Oh, okay.
And you know, we're trying to prep. I'm trying to be somewhat of a host.
Before
and I
get
see
drunk
it's
and
him.
Useless, right?
Right, exactly. Yeah. Thank you. So I answer the phone. I'm like, what's up, bro? You on your way? Yeah. What's up with this Russian guy? I said, who? Lomachenko? He goes, yeah. Does the other guy have any shot? I said, dude, are you really calling me about this right now? Well, the other guy's 2,000 to 1. There's a reason why he's 2,000 to 1. He's got no shot at all. This is the type of bets that he calls me for, you know?
The get rich. The
hit him big.
Yeah. He bets soccer games that in
he doesn't
in
know.
The lower levels of Europe that right. They don't even show them on TV here. He just looks at the odds on the computer.
They don't show them on TV in Europe.
No,
what
no,
do you mean?
Yeah. And he basically calls up and he tries to put these bets in, and I mean, people don't even care if these guys are wearing cleats on their feet when these games are played, and
they don't
and
have
he's
fans,
throwing in bets
they don't
on
have
these
sponsors.
Games.
They don't have anything.
It's crazy. Big shout out to Gabe. Happy birthday to Gabe. We don't mean to rag on you.
Happy birthday.
Isn't he supposed
Gabe.
To come over tonight later?
Tonight he's coming
NBA
over.
Finals?
Yeah, yeah.
Shout out to Gabe.
Who do you like tonight?
Golden State.
What's the line?
Two.
In Cleveland, you like them? That's your lock for the week.
Oh, two. Yeah. They're begging you to take Cleveland, right? Begging you.
Minus two.
They're begging you to take Cleveland. Golden State's favored? Wow. In Cleveland?
Pete takes all the favorites. He's like a typical degenerate.
Yeah, as long as it works for
him. Typical degenerate takes all the dogs.
Does he?
Actually.
Yeah. Really?
That's how much you know about gambling. Look at
that's
us.
That's good.
No, that's not what I... No, no, no. Little eye on you, so that's not what I heard from our boy Jared. That's not what I heard. What I hear from our boy, who's a very into this kind of stuff.
Is he the diamond
the degenerate, guy? The degenerates only take the favorites.
He went to Jared.
He went to Jared for that.
He went to Jared. Anyway.
It's sponsored by. Hey, Jared.
No, hey, we're not giving anybody publicity. DraftKings helps us out. That's what we're giving. Nobody else gets on here except until you pay up.
I'm just saying, you know.
Kick
we're,
in.
We're open.
You've been robbing cannolis from us for 20 years now.
Isn't Jared
in.
The subway guy, too? Jesus.
Yeah.
Wow, that guy's busy. He's a gambler, a subway guy, and a diamond guy. Man, he's my
and he's
hero.
He's a dietitian.
My hero.
He does a lot of CrossFit, too.
Nice. Anyway. Is that it? Is that it for the week?
Yep.
Are we out of ideas? Guys, next week we're going to talk
about heavyweight championship fight.
Deontay Wilder, who we had right here on the show. Watch
last
him.
Week.
Check him out on Showtime this weekend. I'm going to be working it. There's also some pretty good fights on HBO, even though when, you know, they're competing with the Wilder fight. Nicholas Walters is fighting, and the Felix Verdejo is fighting. So there's some boxing this weekend. Check out Deontay defending the heavyweight
title. I feel
like
spoiled. There's always boxing on. I love it.
It's great.
I love it.
Hey, have fun in Alabama.
Alabama.
You will have fun.
You know what? I'm not going to lie. I worked one of Deontay's fights on Fox Sports one time in Alabama, and I got treated really good. Nice people. Good
have
people.
Fun.
And they had a good soup. There was like some kind of fish soup they had over there. Man, was that thing good. I don't even
you
know
you have
it was
that fish soup, buddy. Have fun slitting your wrist in Alabama.
Oh, all right. Let's see how it is.
You
mean you guys won't be coming with me to Alabama to record a podcast anytime soon?
Only if I get a banjo. On my knee.
Banjo on your knee. Yeah, really funny.
If I could bring New York to Alabama.
Yeah, Alabama.
You would be bringing New York. This kid would definitely get arrested in Alabama.
Yeah, without a doubt.
Not from around
you see
here, are you?
You see my cousin Vinny? What were they, in Georgia? The Sack of Suds? That's right, our neighbor's Alabama, the Sack of Suds. You know, in Georgia. So we'll go in Alabama.
No, that was in Alabama.
Was it? No, I think it was in Georgia.
We gotta research that. Twitter, hey,
guys,
Twitter.
My cousin Vinny. Guys, come on. You guys know
what
better
state
at
was
home.
That?
Yeah, it was definitely in Georgia.
Down
I
south.
Think it was in Georgia. It wasn't Alabama.
I think it was down south somewhere.
It was down south. They both down south, Seth. Georgia and Alabama
south.
Down south.
It wasn't
south.
Georgia.
It was Georgia. I'm telling you, it was Georgia. All right, guys, we have a disagreement here. Me and Peter Cause.
He said,
everybody at home who watched My Cousin Vinny, tweet us. Let us know who was right. I say the sack of suds was in Georgia in the movie My Cousin Vinny.
It was Alabama.
Peter Cause is saying the sack of suds was in Alabama.
He said you
tweet us. Let us know who was right.
He said you killed the good old boy.
My clock is
There's no like way this is not going to trial.
Yeah, good old boy.
A good old boy
is anybody from the South.
I hear you, but I'm just
both in the South. Alabama and Georgia neighbor each other.
South of the Donna Dixon line.
Beecham County. Beecham County. Beecham County, Alabama.
Oh, man. No, it's Beecham County, Georgia. I don't know. Man, I'm nervous. Guys at home, let us know who wins this disagreement. I'm telling you, bro, it's Georgia.
Nope.
You're wrong. You're wrong. Anyway, we're going to let you go. I was actually going to say something else before we went off the air. This freaking conversation. No, this conversation, man, it went too long, and I forgot what I was going to say. See what happens when you get hit in the head for a living? God, I was going to have a nice send-off. I was going to say something. I don't know what I was going to say.
That's what happens when you get punched in your head.
For half your life, I know. Terrible. Anyway, maybe if I remember.
You held up pretty good, though, man, I got to say.
I did. Yeah. Don't jinx me.
No,
okay. Thanks.
Yeah,
thanks.
No way, man.
But, yeah. All right. So we got Deontay's fight this weekend. Check him out on Showtime. I'll be working on the Showtime broadcast as well. As you know, the guys just made fun of me for going to Alabama.
Rural Alabama.
No.
Get out of here. It's on IMDb.
F-O-H.
Whatever.
You're in Alabama. You killed a good old boy. Hey. There is no way this is not going to trial.
All right.
Boy.
But Vin, you knew you could ask questions, right?
I want to ask you a question. Paul, I put you on the spot. Is there any signal you can send to the podcast listeners while you're doing your show? I don't know, maybe point or something? I don't know.
Maybe there's something. I don't know.
I don't know. Think about it.
I don't know. I'll think about it. And then
scratch your balls.
They won't see that.
Yeah, I'm at the desk, bro.
Oh, sorry.
What are you going to do?
You allowed to do a shout-out on the show or what?
Can't. It's not a personal interview. Yeah, how many people ask me for shout-outs on the show?
On my personal interviews,
I can say what I want. On the broadcast, I got to keep it professional. Everybody wants a shout-out.
No, not a shout-out like that. I mean, like, hey, you're talking about Deontay. It's Deontay's fight. When I had him on the podcast, he said...
A subtle plug.
The subtle plug.
Now that, my friend... is called genius. Thank you, Seth.
All right. I'm out.
Hold on. Where are we out?
I'm out. You guys are still
in.
Don't pull me back in. I'm out.
All right. Whatever. We're going off the air. We'll see you next week. If I remember this, I'm punching Peter in the face on the way home.
You're out of order.
Later.
And he thought that it was from Georgia.
Come on. Next week. We'll see you later.